From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, did the British government investigate crop formations? Colin Andrews joins us, our special guest. Okay, say a prayer for Coast to Coast guest Dr. Roger Lear. He's in the hospital. They don't know exactly what's wrong with Roger. He is having trouble breathing. At least Strever sent me an email tonight and said things are tense. So do the best you can there for Dr. Roger Lear. Here's what's happening. Saudi Arabian authorities have executed a woman. Why? Convicted of practicing magic and sorcery. The London-based Al Hayat Daily, it's a newspaper, however, quoted the chief of religious police there in Saudi Arabia, who arrested the woman, as saying that she had tricked people into thinking that she could treat illnesses, charging them $800 a session. They said that was a no-no. The paper said a female investigator followed up. The woman was arrested back in April of 2009, later convicted in a Saudi court. She was in her 60s and was executed. The execution brings the total to 76 this year in Saudi Arabia. The Supreme Court has announced it will hear arguments over Arizona's immigration law after a lower court upheld a Justice Department's challenge to void the law, arguing that the state cannot legislate rules that the federal government is responsible for enforcing. Similar laws in Alabama, South Carolina, Utah also facing administration lawsuits. Private groups are suing over immigration measures adopted in Georgia and Indiana as well. This case could be heard in April. Journalist Frosty Wooldridge with us. He's an expert on immigration. Frosty, what do you think of this whole case?
Well, thank you very much, George. The one thing that's really come to the forefront on the Senate Bill 1070 by Arizona is that Chris Kobach, and I've met him and also have listened to him, he is really a brilliant lawyer who formed, if you will, or really helped Alabama, certainly helped Arizona and South Carolina in their formation of these bills that are meant to protect the specific states. The fact that the Supreme Court is now going to review Senate Bill 1070 from Arizona is very exciting because this is the final reality of that bill. It is an imitation of U.S. immigration policy. And so what it means is that if the U.S. or the United States of America doesn't and won't and hasn't for over 20 years now guarded the borders, secured the borders, hasn't enforced internally, that the states are now taking the states' rights. And if you remember, Thomas Jefferson said the most important part of the Constitution by the Founding Fathers was to make sure that states' rights took precedence.
That's right.
For the protection of the people, of the individual states. And right now, of course, Arizona and South Carolina and Alabama are doing that. And so I'm very excited, along with Roy Beck of NumbersUSA.com, because I just talked to him today about this. It's very encouraging that the Supreme Court's going to take this on, and Chris Kobach is very confident that it's going to succeed in favor of Arizona, and then, of course, the rest of the states that have brought these new immigration bills into the forefront are also going to be vindicated, and it's going to really shift the whole immigration predicament for and toward states' rights and in favor of the American people, which, of course, will allow internal enforcement and therefore move out about 8 million illegal aliens that now fill full-time jobs in this country, simply take those jobs away, and then they can be filled with American citizens, now 15 million unemployed, at a living wage. So this is very exciting news, George.
We will follow it, and you will too, Frosty. Thank you so much. An acute butter shortage in Norway, one of the world's richest countries, has left people there worrying about how to bake their Christmas goodies, and store shelves have been emptied, prices going through the roof, about $500 for a pound of butter in Norway. Scientists are expected on Tuesday to present preliminary evidence that the most coveted prize in particle physics, the Higgs boson, the God particle, has been glimpsed. While the Higgs is crucial to our understanding of the universe, it has never been observed by experiments, the Large Hadron Collider, doing what it's supposed to do. The U.S. box office has suffered its lowest takings in 3 years, despite the pulling power of the romantic comedy New Year's Eve's all-star cast. The poor weekend leaves total box office revenues for 2011 about 4% down compared to last year. Those in Hollywood scratching their heads going, it's unbelievably bad right now. How's your luck? The power of luck. Up next, Ellen Whitehurst joins us, author of Make This Your Lucky Day. Find out why some people are lucky and other people just aren't. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, feeling lucky? Well, let's find out in just a moment. You know, luck exerts a dramatic influence over our lives. Just a few seconds of bad fortune can unravel years of striving, while a moment of good luck can lead to happiness and success. Luck has the power to transform the improbable into the possible, to make the difference sometimes between life, death, reward, ruin, happiness, despair. Research shows that there are differences between the lives of lucky people and unlucky people. Ellen Whitehurst, author of Make This Your Lucky Day, the author of a bestseller here, and also writes for the Huffington Post. And here she is back on Coast to Coast. Ellen, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, George. I'm nice and wonderfully happy to talk to you again. It's always, always my lucky day to have any time with George Norrie.
You know, let me ask you this. Why are some people lucky, incredibly lucky, other people just aren't?
Well, you know, most would say that it's maybe a condition of birth, but science and research shows that it's actually a condition of where you put your thoughts. So, George, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go with two different actual phases here,
okay,
or conditions. One is what the Eastern tradition believes, and I'm talking about Chinese or Japanese. There, according to them, there are five different kinds of luck. The first is heaven luck, and that's what we would call, you and I would call, our destiny, or where the stars are on the day that we're born. Or some of us might even ascribe that to our astrology, where the planets are, predicate what would happen to you through your lifetime. And then there's man luck. That's the second type of luck according to Eastern tradition. And man luck is simply scratching off a lotto ticket and being a winner. The third type of luck according to the Eastern tradition is education. Knowledge is power. The more you know, the more you earn. There you go. The fourth type of luck according to the Eastern tradition is karma. What you reap is what you sow. And the fifth kind of luck is philanthropy. So, of course, service to others. But the science of luck, the research that's been done, and to answer your question, George, is why do some people find themselves very lucky and other people maybe not so much, is that there has been this definite declarative science that has shown that there are four basic principles to people who are considered lucky, or who can even mine their own luck. So even people who are listening to this right now and do not consider themselves to be lucky at all, can turn it around just by listening and or following these four principles. And the first one is to always maximize chance or opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so the research shows, George, that people who are quote-unquote lucky network, they're relaxed about their life, and they're open to new opportunities. And again, you know, I don't know how much time we have, but there's a lot.
You're with me for the hour. You're not going anywhere.
Oh, good. Well, then let's talk about this, because there's anecdotal evidence here, George, where there have been studies done. There was one particular study done where someone put down money in a Starbucks. He literally put down money in a Starbucks, and he was doing this research to see how many people would pick up the money or bypass the money. And the people who not only picked up the money and put it in their pocket, then went in to tip the baristas better, had a better experience getting their drink, getting their coffee, whatever it was, and left there feeling far more optimistic than the people who stepped over the money. For whatever reason, they did that. Huh. They didn't network, they weren't relaxed about it, and they weren't open to whatever these new opportunities could be. So there's that one basic principle, the first basic principle in the research, of the scientific research of how to be lucky, is to maximize those opportunities. And then the second one, which is really I love the most because this is so basic to who I am and it touches my heart, is to listen to your gut hunches. Listen to your intuition.
Yes.
Follow whatever your intuition says. Go with that. So many of us don't do that anymore. We're not even able to connect with or have an ability to process that still small voice within that is telling us to go one way when we think we need to go another. We found, or research has found, that luck is definitely without question predicated on following intuition. The third opportunity that you have is to expect, receive good fortune. So many of us spend the entire day. And George, I'm going to stop here for a second because in my business, I find this all day long. No one expects good fortune. And, you know, even right now, I was just listening during the break. We have our politicians. We have an economy that's really tanking. And I spent 30 years on Wall Street, so I'm absolutely conversant with what's happening financially. Right. And this can be something that's really takes a toll on the subconscious and on the psyche of the collective consciousness.
So when you say, though, expect, receive, is that being confident or can you be overconfident?
Well, I think confident is a great word. I think that's a great word. Overconfident, can anybody be overconfident? No. I mean, when I say expect, I literally mean wake up in the morning and stop thinking the worst. Stop thinking that everything that is in the collective.
Negative.
Stop thinking that what we're seeing you know, on a collective basis, in terms of anything that feels fearful,
all right,
has to do with you.
That's good. That is good. And what about number four?
Number four is turn bad into good. What could have been something that is challenging or an obstacle. And again, this is really Pollyanna-ish, and I get it. And I get that that's something that's, you know, it is number four for a reason, George. It's down there on the list for a reason. And it's because this is probably the hardest thing to do, especially for people who have faced some tremendous hardship or some terrific hardship. But, you know, and again, when I say it's Pollyanna-ish to say turn an obstacle into an opportunity, but it truly, truly does mean that behind every obstacle is an opportunity.
Let me give you an example. Tell me if this is correct.
Sure.
A guy goes out, has a heart attack, doesn't die, all right? Goes to the doctor, they fix him up, they do whatever they do. He loses weight, changes his eating habits, everything about him changes. Is that good luck for him, the way that happened?
Well, yes.
It's bad luck to have the heart attack, but I would assume it's good luck the way he turned it around.
And I think you just put it perfectly. I think you just exactly exemplified what I'm talking about when I say you turn an obstacle into an opportunity. So, yes, those of us, I get emails every single day about people who have lost their jobs. And you and I both know, George, in this economy, that's a tremendous hardship. And
yes,
bears down on even every political statement and thought that's taken right now. But one of the things that we have to look at is in this coming time of transformation and reinvention and changes that we're going through as a collective and as a people, is are you doing what you were meant to do? Are you doing what you were put on this planet to do? Are you actually embracing your destiny? And do you wake up every morning with some sense of joy or some sense of purpose? purpose being the operative word there. And, you know, so many of us were born in a generation where our only job was to make better the generation that came after us. And so we would do that no matter what, no matter what it took to pay the bills or pay the tuition or buy the clothes or the food, we would take the job that would pay those bills. And now we're coming into a time where we really need to be embracing who we are truthfully as our souls or our spirits need to be. And in so much of that, we need to be able to say that we're happy or at least fulfilled with the job that we're doing. And so, you know, to just speak to what you're saying, good fortune and good luck becomes a much bigger thing than just a scratch-off lotto ticket.
Well, that's true. So someone who has a cloud over their head, that black cloud over their head, if they try to practice these four basic techniques, will that eventually allow them to change that, pull
Absolutely.
That cloud and get rid of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. The problem with someone who has a cloud over their head is that they think they have a cloud over their head, and that then becomes the cloud over their head. So, yes, I mean, I know so many people who are listening to this right now are saying, I have nothing to do with my bad fortune or my bad luck, and that therein becomes sort of a difficulty for people like me to have a confrontational discussion, to say, seriously, step back and look at what your life looks like and then see what you expect. Because if every day you wake up and you expect that cloud to still be over your head, it's not only going to be over your head, but it's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes by. But without question, if someone can just embrace any of these opportunities of changing luck, and that's what we're talking about tonight, George. We're talking about changing luck so that you are now empowered, enlightened, illuminated, and in charge of changing your luck from maybe bad to good, maybe negative to positive, or maybe positive to more positive, or good to better. And so absolutely anybody at any time can take any one of these principles and turn their life around. And let's just start with the first one, which is just maximizing chances of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And again, this there's tons of research behind this. There's tons of science. So I personally embrace all of the Eastern traditions of what the five types of luck are.
Yeah, I like that too.
But if we're going to talk about just talking about the research, the scientific research that's been done, maximizing chance opportunities, the number one thing. The first thing you can do is start getting out and networking more, being amongst other people, and being available, open, and aware of what opportunities for good luck can be.
Should you be around other lucky people?
Well, you know, it depends on, once again, what's your connotation of what lucky people are. So if you're going to be making an effort, if you're going to be taking this proactive step of going out and saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to make my luck better right now. I'm going to be a lucky person today. Let's just say that just for one day, I'm going to be a really lucky person today. And if you're going out to do that, well, of course, the last thing you want to do is be around Debbie Drama, Nick Right. Negative. And, you know, these are the last people that you want to be around. And anyone who's listening to this knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh, sure. Everybody has that one person they
without
know.
Without question. Without question. So these are the people that you want to stay far, far away from on that one day. So let's just say it's an experiment. You do an experiment, and you decide that you're going to take that one step out into lucky day, one lucky day. I'm going to have that one lucky day. What better time than the holidays to decide to have that one lucky day? The person that you want to stay the furthest away from is the person who pushes your buttons, who is decries everything that's happening around them. You want to only, and if you don't know anybody who isn't positive, who isn't someone who's going to cheer you on, then stay by yourself.
Good
on
point.
That one lucky day.
Let's come back on some of those other basics in a moment, Ellen. Plus, we'll take some phone calls. Perhaps you're feeling lucky. Share that story with us. Ellen Whitehurst, author of the book, Make This Your Lucky Day. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, those of you who are members of the Coast Insiders Club, tomorrow, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time, we'll have our chat, computer chat this time, video chats when I'm back in Los Angeles. So go ahead, and the room fills up fast, so make sure you're part of that. 8 p.m. Pacific time Tuesday, our chat. And if you want to be a Coast Insider for less than 25 cents a day, part of the club where you get downloads, podcasting, and all kinds of little bennies, just simply go to coasttocoastam.com. At the top of the homepage, you'll see Coast Insider. You can click that, fill out the information, and there you go. Our goal, 2,000 new members in December, and we're halfway there. Coast Insiders Club, part of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Ellen Whitehurst with us. And Ellen, before we go to calls, let's go through these other basics, give people tips. We talked about maximized chance. What about this intuition? How do we
listening to your intuition? And but you know, George, I just want to take a second because listening to during the break, you know, going back to that whole five luck according to the Eastern tradition, mm-hmm. karma and philanthropy being one of them. That eFoods Direct, that's something that is very, very powerful, bringing any sort of comfort and food to those who don't have it right now.
Yep.
Will actually, without question, and very immediately increase your odds at becoming a lucky person. So, you know, this we're talking about listening to your gut hunches or listening to your intuition. This is something that all of us in this age of technology sort of get away from. We're moving in a very, very, very fast manner into a different age, the age of Aquarius, some of us will acknowledge, or, you know, other of us will say that we're just going into a more technological age. But either way you go, it's a fast, speeded up world. And with that speeded up world sometimes comes the non-opportunity of listening to that still small voice within, which is the voice that tells us how we can be luckier.
Yep.
By connect. I'm sorry, George, were you going to say something?
No. I'm listening.
Okay. It's just our intuition is our connection to divinity. It's our connection to what puts us on the pathway to success, to luck, and to everything that's in our highest benefit. And there are just so many of us right now that are so disconnected from that because we are so connected to so many other things that don't allow us the opportunity or the time to actually sit down and be in touch with that voice. And that voice is the one that's always going to lead us in the right direction. Of course, then we have that expectation, expecting good fortune. And this goes back, again, all the mystery schools of the ages, all of the new thought teachers, all of the masters, all of the gurus have always taught this one lesson, that if you expect good fortune, then you will receive good fortune. Lucky people are almost the explanation of the self-fulfilling prophecy. And the opposite is true as well, George. So,
well, you know, I mean, if you walk in the door going, I'm going to lose, or this isn't going to happen, or
yeah,
I'm
going to
get fired, chances are you
will. Right. If you're absolutely, and George, I you know, I have a teenager who tells me this constantly, you know, no, I'm not going to try out for the basketball team. I'm never going to make it. Well, you know, this is my kid of all kids in the world to be saying this when I am the biggest cheerleader and proponent of, you know, believe in the impossible. And, you know, we just had Gene Sirleaf, who won the Nobel Prize, saying, if you're not dreaming the impossible dream, you're not dreaming big enough. And that is the absolute truth,
right?
Because everything is possible. Everything in life, on this planet, and off of this planet, as you well know too, George, is possible. So, yes, absolutely. If you're not expecting good fortune, but there's almost a key to that, which is the word expect, because that's different than being opened to receiving it. There's a difference to just be open to receiving it and expecting it.
Yeah.
And the person who expects it, the Haley Mills Pollyanna character who expects it, is the person who's going to receive it. So in that whole attitude of expectation, in that whole awakening of expectation, you call it in. You create it. So expecting it is absolutely the way to trigger or turn that key to being a lucky person. And then, you know, the final thing is what you were talking about before, the guy who has a heart attack and what happens then if he survives the heart attack. And it's turning what we would consider bad luck into good. And what it is, you know, you can have that person who says, again, the Eeyore, who says, oh, I had a heart attack. Now I have to stay in bed. Or,
oh, I'm dying.
I'm dying. Oh, get me my milk. I mean, it's, you know, this is the person who's never going to actually then be in line for all the fortune and luck that could be showered upon them. But the person who looks at the fabulous benefits of having something that happens to them, whether it be a health issue or any other emotional issue that may turn their lives upside down. And believe it, you know, there's plenty of us. There's plenty of us out there who, particularly in the last few years, who have had our lives turned on their ear. And I get it and I understand it. But if you can step back and look at some of the circumstances and look at them as opportunities. And I myself, George, 10 years ago, marriage gone bad, left with my son. He was 3 years old, didn't know what I was going to do, but certainly expected that the best was going to happen. And turned my whole life around by simply saying, I can take these obstacles and turn them into opportunities. So for anybody listening to this who's saying, she's full of malarkey, she's full of bullcrap, I can say that I not only have been through all of these circumstances myself, but I've also embraced exactly what I'm talking about, and I've seen how it works. It's not a mindset. It literally is proactive steps that you take in order to change the circumstances in your life, just as you would do if you started to take, let's talk about your heart attack guy, George. Let's talk about that guy. If he came home, he would change his diet. He might start walking. He might start taking some sort of vitamin in order to change his life. It's the same idea here.
What could have killed him? He might squeeze another 10, 20, 30 years out.
And now makes him stronger, correct?
That's right. Let's take some calls here, Ellen. Okay, then we'll come back.
Luck. We're here.
They are lining up for you. Montville, New Jersey, Joe, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, and thanks, George.
Sure thing.
I have nothing but bad luck for the last 7 years, from being hospitalized to the death of my wife to being defrauded out of my life savings.
Oh, my God. All right, what did he do right? What did he do wrong, Ellen?
Well, Joe, you know, I think sometimes we just have to say, now this is the surrender point. I surrender.
I have.
And at that point, if you can just say, now it gets better. And, Joe, I know that sounds so almost discompassionate.
It can't get worse.
Almost. It cannot. So if you can get past the pain, and I truly think, Joe, that you've been through the worst of it, if you can get past that pain and just say, I have gone through the fire, and I'm coming out the other side.
And I made it.
Yes,
I swear to you, there will be something waiting for you that will open you up to joy and beauty again.
Thank you.
Joe,
and go
my
through
love
those
to
basics.
You.
Next up, we'll go to Stephanie in Clovis, California, west of the Rockies. Stephanie, you're on with Ellen. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I absolutely, completely agree with everything that you've been talking about. And it's not just a mindset. It is steps that you have to move forward with in order to bring about, I believe, that the good, positive things that will come to you if you do expect it and go through life not down and out, but saying, look, I can conquer this and I can do it. And once you get past some of these obstacles, as you were saying earlier, you literally feel that you can do almost anything. And once you, as you said, get the mindset.
So true. You know, do you, for example, Ellen, have to practice all four of the basics in order to be lucky?
Absolutely or will, not. No,
so
George.
One of them will do it, right?
Just one. Just take one step at a time. And you and I, George, we've talked about this before. You know, there are certain things that I talk about, steps that you can take. And again, you know, if you come to my website or you come to my Facebook page, I give tips about how to take these steps forward. Because what we're talking about right now, George, are pretty large concepts that are theoretical in nature. And so somebody who might be listening to this might be saying, yeah, that sounds great in theory, but what's the practice? What exactly can I do? So if it's okay with you, George, can I just give one little tip right now that people
yeah.
can do?
You
know, it's so important. In every school of psychology, down through the ages to behavioral or modern psychology right now, people and all the practitioners will talk about how important it is the first thing you see when you wake up in the morning and the last thing you see when you go to sleep at night, which should be theoretically the same thing. It's tremendously important to your psyche. It's tremendously important to your subconscious.
Yep.
So if people can take that proactive step, George, and just make sure that there's something that they see upon awakening and, again, when they go to sleep at night, that makes them feel positive, happy, proactive, any of those things, and lucky, of course, because that's what we're talking about, anything that they can see that makes them feel that they have a purpose will, again, affect them on such a deep level that it will give them that spirit-driven life. So go. Let's go take another call.
Let's go to Tom, Somerville, Massachusetts. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, I'm going to change your whole world. You ready?
All right.
I'm a naturally lucky person. I'm a happy person, gentle person, so I want you to know that. But understand, try to get your head around this. On my front entrance I have is, if it's possible, I don't want it. In other words, all I want is the impossible. Okay, so I can do all kinds of things, but you have to understand the playing field. Okay, and the playing field is that the world is ruled by the violent, dominant male. Okay, and the thing is, you have to understand how to deal with that creature, because he's the one who's going to try and make everything move fast so you can't hear your inner self, you see? And so one aspect of my luck is that all I have to do when nothing's happening is just wait for destruction, because sooner or later that creature is going to come at you and take away from you what you want. And so I'm the master of destruction when that comes, and since everything has two sides, when I do that, I get what I want. So that's my game. It's more to it than just destruction.
It
works for you. I have a vision of happiness, and the thing is, that creature doesn't want it. So just understand the playing field and become powerful.
I'm going to tell you, I think your playing field is about to change, and I think it's been changing since 2008, and I think we're going to see it change significantly more in 2012, because astrology is one of my strong suits. It's in my wheelhouse. And in 2011, we started to see the decline of that male thumb. sitting on everyone's power. And we started to see the decline of institutions and corporations. Mm-hmm. And we started to see the decline of that male hierarchy. And I think in 2012, you're going to start to see the divine feminine rise again. And I do believe, without question, you'll be able to take that sign off the front of your door.
All of this, is it also the power of positive thinking, Ellen?
I think that, George, you know, I do think that there is a mind over matter thing. And I do think that there is a power to positive thinking. But do I think that all of this is the power of positive thinking? No, without question. I do believe that anyone who takes proactive steps to improve their situation or to improve their circumstances feels more empowered. And when you feel more empowered, you feel less fearful. And that's, you know, really, if we want to say what the antithesis of luck is, it's fear. So any time that we can tame that lion and we can look that lion in the eyes and make it back down, then we are lucky. So is it all the power of positive thinking? No, I think that's really, really a big, strong part of it. But I think making the effort and taking proactive steps to improve our life circumstances through any one of the things that we've talked about tonight, George, and I really appreciate and I'm honored that you've been allowing me to actually give out some of this information and that you've been supporting it because you're George Norrie. You're God.
No, it was just, no, I'm not God. I'm
well, you are, George.
You
I
were
mean,
just,
really,
this one, you were just lucky.
You make a difference. I'm lucky tonight, no doubt about that, but you make a difference on this planet. But I do think that anybody listening who wants to make that change, I don't want them sitting back and thinking, oh, it's just, you know, I can't think positive because I just lost my wife or I just lost my job. I can't think that way. It really does take an effort, and that effort includes taking proactive steps. But when you take those proactive steps, I cannot even tell you how quickly doors will open and everything will start to shift. And all of a sudden, you will begin to see that you have stepped in to a luckier life, a more fortunate life, and it will only get better from there the more that you concentrate and focus your efforts on those sorts of endeavors.
Let's go to Ryan in Gainesville, Florida, first-time caller. Only about a minute and a half, Ryan, but you got it. Go ahead. Ryan? Well, I guess he's not that lucky.
Ryan's not getting lucky tonight.
Poor Ryan. What a way to end the calls with Ryan. Anyways, your website, ellenwhitehurst.com. We got it linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We talked about your book about 3 years ago. Is it still out there? You still selling it?
My publisher is, but I'm really more concentrated on my Facebook page, which is, you know, www.facebook.com/Ellen Whitehurst. I give out tips 4, 5, 6 times a day to say how to be lucky, how to be fortunate, how to make more money, how to find love. And that, I believe, is my passion in life. And I know you're passionate. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate having this time with you to be passionate together.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Ellen Whitehurst, make this your lucky day. Change it, because you can. And get away from those people who have black clouds over their head. You don't need that in your life, that's for sure. In a moment, Colin Andrews joins us. We're going to be talking about his theories of crop formations. Get ready to go on Coast to Coast AM. I shall be right back.